You are now listening to Shotgun Sports USA. Recorded in the U.S. and streaming all over the world, we talk to shotgun shooters from all disciplines. Championship-winning coaches, gun clubs, world-class target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. Check us out online at ShotgunSportsUSA.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram. Shotgun Sports USA is powered by Winchester Ammunition, the American legend. Also brought to you by Cole Gunsmithing, Ultimate Shooting Accessories, Rick Hemingway's Promatic Trap Cells, Sound Gear Fannel, Comp and Choke, Clay Shooter Supply, and Clay Target Vision. On this episode, we have three unbelievable shooters on. The new Hall of Fame member and now three-time national champion, Zach Kingbaum. The 2022 ladies runner-up, Desiree Edmonds. And then the one that I'm most excited about, and listen to this. In 2021, he won the following in sub-junior: the Western Regional, the U.S. Open, and Georgia State. Then he moves on to 2022, again in sub-junior, and wins these: the Georgia State, the World English, the North Central Regional, the Northeast Regional, the Southeast Regional, and the most recent, he is the 2022 sub-junior national champion. All of this combined earned him the sub-junior champion title for the championship tour powered by Winchester. I'm glad to have him on with us, Connor Daniel. All right, it's been a busy few weeks. I think we're all settled down now. The national championship, the super squad, the live coverage, it's all over, and we're getting ready for 23.
Yeah, I'm ready for the off season.
Zach's over here looking like, wait a minute, I just won the national championship. I'm not ready for 22 to be over yet. All right, today I have with me Hall of Fame member. Now I could say you're a member of the Hall of Fame.
Pretty wild, huh?
Yeah. Three-time national champion, right? Desi is here.
Hi, y'all.
Yeah, she runnered up at national championship, right?
Yep, we had pretty good showing.
And then we have special guest. I've been trying to get this guy on here for a long time, Connor Daniel. What's up, Connor?
What's up? How you doing?
I would have to say Connor is probably one of the best sub-junior shooters in the entire country, and if not, the world.
Yeah, I think he proved it all year, right?
Yeah.
The last couple of years.
It's unbelievable shooting.
Yeah, and he actually made both Team USAs.
Yes, he
as did. As a sub-junior in the junior category.
Desi, we were saving that.
Oh.
We're not. We'll talk about it again.
Surprise.
Yeah,
so Connor at 15 years old, turned 15 the middle of this season, he'll be the alternate on the junior Team USA FITESC and Sporting, which, in my opinion, you know, if we'd have talked about this a year ago, I would have, you know, in my mind, he's a year or two early ahead of schedule, like right. Of where most kids start kind of, you know, approaching making that team. It's incredible. It's awesome.
All right. So what is an alternate? Because I don't really know what that
is. It's perfect position for a young junior Team USA. He's got a lot more years to shoot on junior Team USA, but basically he's the alternate. So if Joe or Todd happen to get sick,
okay,
we always take an alternate for every team: vets, open, ladies, all of the above. So he gets to go on the trip, part of the team, definitely part of the team. He'll take part in all the opening ceremonies, but his score technically probably won't count for the junior. So it's an awesome opportunity to go gain all that experience in London and in Hungary without the pressure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of first-time members of Team USA. I've always said all along that maybe not everyone would agree, but I think it's the perfect just start for someone's Team USA career.
Yeah. And he gets to wear the Team USA vest. That's pretty cool. I mean, you think about that, man. You've been shooting 3 years?
Yes, sir.
And you've made Team USA. I mean, that's unbelievable. To me, it really is. But he shoots an awful lot. Y'all shoot a lot together.
He shoots a lot.
But, hey, That's what got him there. I guess, is it shooting with you that got him there, or is it?
It's a combination of a lot of things. He's a hard worker. He shoots. He wants to shoot. I bet he'd shoot 6 days a week if you let him.
they have to stop you, Connor?
He's got, oh, yeah. I mean, he can answer. I mean, these are good questions for him, but he's got an awesome support system around him, his parents and his grandmother. They live obviously very close to me, mm-hmm. and we can get together a lot. That first year that we shot together, it was a lot. I don't even know how many days a week, but it was a lot.
Probably like 4 or 5. Yeah, nah, maybe 3 or 4.
That's a lot. I've never had someone that I've worked with that much in, you know, in short periods of time, a lot.
I remember when you told me, you said, I've got this kid coming, and he's going to be bad.
Oh, yeah.
Like, good bad.
Yeah, good bad.
So, I said, oh, yeah, who's that? Oh, it's a kid named Connor Daniel. I said, okay. So I think I went down there and shot with y'all one time.
Oh, you've shot with him when he was real little.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, holy cow.
And another, I think another huge part that's probably hard to even quantify is he's literally squatted with me and other top shooters. He has seen the game played at the highest of levels. He's right. Watched me win Gator Cups and several regionals and nationals and doing well at just a lot of shoots. So he's seen how it's done. He's seen me shoot really well. He's seen me shoot a regional where I was thinking about it today that I missed 6 birds on the first 2 stations at a Northeast regional last year, I believe, and shot 93 on that course, ended up runner up in the tournament. So he's seen, you know, that you don't give up, you know, you keep swinging. Who knows how to quantify, you know, that kind of experience or just being around that. But I think that's part of it as well.
I'm nowhere near as good as like Connor or some of these other people. But I have to say, coming up through the sport, I did the mm-hmm. same thing. I just don't have the time to practice, but I got to shoot with some of the best people.
Right.
And I think that really helps to see them, how they move and how they act and how they approach targets and stuff like that. So you think that helped you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. Just shooting with Zach and a lot of other people, seeing them, like how it's done, where they shoot, how their tempo is. It's a lot better than just going out and shooting.
It is. Do you think that shooting with Zach or not shooting with Zach, say you didn't shoot with Zach all the time, but he was your coach, you think you're shooting better now because you shoot with him all the time?
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
The chicken wing. We talked about this in the live broadcast, right? Zach, if you go watch the live broadcast, Zach has his arm up in the air. Is there a reason why you do that? Or is it just natural?
That's how you should shoot.
It is?
I don't know. I'm just kidding. When I put my elbow a little higher, it opens up that pocket for the gun, and it just feels natural. I've never, ever told a student they should lift their arm up. Now I think they see me, and it just naturally kind of gravitate to trying it. But Connor's small. I mean, he's not the biggest kid, and I promise you, when he opens up that wing a little bit, that gun fits in there perfect. I mean,
yeah, Dominic said it at your Hall of Fame speech this year. Dominic Grassi introduced Zach for the Hall of Fame, and Dominic mentioned the chicken wing, and he said that I think that might be Zach's trademark for students. Like, if you see somebody with their elbow up like that, yep.
I am not the only top shooter that shoots that way, but I think it helps keep my shoulders square, and I rotate my body rather than kind of lean and roll with my shoulders.
Yeah.
I think it helps.
Yeah. Well, listen, we've all been out shooting today. We went to Cherokee Rose and shot the little Sunday tournament they had for the Fraser 500. We're back here and we're recording an episode. And there's some things that I want to touch on regarding Nationals, the Super Squad, and the live coverage. Okay. First of all, again, congrats to everybody that shot that. People sitting here and everybody else that finished where they wanted to finish, congrats. But do you feel that everything this year with a Super Squad Nationals ran the way it was supposed to be ran?
I think overall it ran better than I was expecting it to run. First of all, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday night interviews you guys did in front of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That was incredible. That has to continue. That was awesome. I think that was just really, really good content.
Why does it have to continue though? I want a reason why for all this
stuff. It builds excitement. It builds suspense, or just kind of the lead in to those groupings and how everything's going. And just talking to several of the top shooters, I think it was really, really good.
Yeah. I think it is a way to involve people who might not be at nationals or who might not be a real competitive shooter, or maybe they are, they just couldn't go. So your involvement is now not just the people on the property. It's everyone else. They can get to hear what's going on. They get to learn about how the tournament is evolving and how the shooters are doing, even if they're not right there.
Yeah.
And you could be, nationals is such a big tournament. You could be there the whole week and not see, you know, some of your buddies, and they're there the whole week too. You could be there the same amount of time and not see them all week. So it's a way to kind of connect everybody on the information, on the way the tournament's going, how the courses are being shot, and what the professionals in the sport think. I mean, obviously they've gotten to that point in their shooting career. So, I want to know what they have to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was neat to have the interviews at the end of the day, just to see what maybe the people are looking, you know, how they're thinking, what they're thinking about for the next couple of days. As far as the live coverage, I think a lot of people were excited about that. You agree?
Absolutely.
I mean, I know I was excited about it. I was a little nervous because we had to do it, but I think that it was something that needed to be done. I think we've been talking about doing stuff like this for years. You know, let's figure out how to get it on YouTube, not on TV, but on YouTube.
Right. I think some of the other good things that have happened to our sport in the past, we've been so TV centric. They've been so obsessed with getting it on TV. And in 2022, that's not the right.
No,
that's not the spot. I mean,
yeah,
online.
Only thing I watch on TV is football, right? Or baseball. Right. I won't go look for something like that on TV. I want to see it live.
Right.
You know, YouTube, Facebook, something like that. And they did it. They spent a good amount of money doing it. Yeah. They had a lot of good camera guys there. First time doing this.
Right.
But I think they really did a good job.
Yeah, the amount of prep work and the number of cameras and the logistics of just getting everything together all in the right spot at the right time to get it live. Live is so much harder.
Yes.
Than pre-recorded stuff. And I think, you know, we need to keep that in mind, obviously. It's definitely a learning curve. And it's the first, or, you know, maybe not the first, but one of the first major times it's ever been done. So, I mean, I think it went great considering. It can only get better from here. Obviously, we'll learn from the mistakes. We'll learn what people liked. We learn, you know, maybe what didn't work. And you find different paths on, you know, where to go with it. But you don't know until you try it.
That's right.
You don't know until you do it. You know, nothing's going to be perfect the first time. I'm sure that the first time they threw the national championships, it wasn't perfect. But look where it is now. I mean, there's over 2,000 people there, and it's over a week long. It didn't get there overnight. I mean, it was definitely a process.
So you shot the rotation on Sunday, right before the men.
Yep.
Okay, so my schedule was this. I shot the green course at 10:30. Mm-hmm. I was done. And guess what? The ladies started right after that. Okay, so I had to go sit at the table and do the coverage for the women.
Right.
And then when that was over, we had to do the men. I sat there for 6 hours, 5.5 hours doing that.
Right.
But the women we recorded, it wasn't live.
Right.
We wanted to make sure it was right.
Yeah.
And it was.
Yeah.
And we got it recorded. So what did you think about shooting before the men and then the format of us recording it versus it being live? Did it matter to you?
You know, I mean, I was there to shoot the nationals, so that wasn't, you know, learning how everything's being recorded isn't my job at the nationals. I was there to shoot and enjoy my squad mates and have a good time and make sure that I'm participating in that. So that was my number one goal. You know, looking back, obviously I love the super squads. I think it's a great idea, and I definitely think we need to do it again. Putting the ladies on the same rotation as the men is a great idea.
But again,
you know, it's the first time. You learn from those things. So getting them on the same rotation makes it much easier for all of the camera people, all of the crew, to be in one place at one time, and you're not dealing with two different rotations, just one. So that's something that can be easily fixed. I know I heard and read a lot of, you know, kind of disgruntled or upset about the ladies not being live. And at the end of the day, again, we're not all perfect. It's the first time we did this. If it's not right, would you rather watch something live that doesn't look good? You can't see it and you can't hear anything and you don't know what's happening. Or, you know, we can just learn from it and get better. The benefit of doing that is, one, obviously all the camera people get better at it, but as a shooter, you have to learn to deal with that stuff. You can't let all of these outside factors start to affect you. You have to learn to deal with, you know, cameras being right next to you. You have to learn to deal with a lot of people being there. That was the whole excitement about it. It was lots of spectators. There were lots of carts. Obviously, there are things that we can do better to kind of make that situation a little more seamless, a little more organized. But that's part of being a top shooter. That's part of being on the camera. If you want people to see the sport, you have to deal with some of those things. You can't let it affect you in a negative way. So I think instead of looking at all of the things that went wrong or that maybe we wanted in the future, let's look for those in the future and let's work towards those.
Yeah, instead of talking bad about it, let's talk good about it.
Yeah, I want to know what you liked about it so that we can do that again next year.
Yeah.
Or we can get even better at it next year.
Yeah. So the cameras didn't bother you?
No. Right. No, I learned a long time ago that you can't let that bother you.
Well, Connor, you shot on the Super Squad, on the men's Super Squad.
Yes, sir.
Did any of this stuff bother you? Did you enjoy it?
I had a great time. I don't think any of the cameras made me say nervous at all, but it was great watching everybody, all the good shooters in one spot, seeing them shoot. It was a great experience.
The crowd is what blew my mind. Having the crowd there.
Oh, that finish. The finish to that championship was better than any championship I can even think of, even world championship.
Well, it was, what you did was gangster. Okay. You walked up. I grabbed him. Now, keep in mind, I don't know what the scores are. I've been hearing people walk by.
Right.
And I knew you and Brandon were close.
Mm-hmm.
And you walked by and you told me the day before, just grab me. It's not going to bother me. I said, okay. So I'm going to grab you. So I grabbed you and you sat down there for a second and talked with us, got up, went back, and you knew, I didn't, you knew that you had to run that station to basically win.
I didn't know to win. I knew I was right there.
Okay, you didn't.
But know. I mean, yeah, I'd have to run this for sure.
Right, I have to run this station. He comes and sits down and talks with us for, I don't know, 30 seconds or whatever it was, and then gets up and runs the station and wins a championship. Now, that was pretty.
Looking in hindsight, yeah, that looked awesome, right? But to be honest with you, the decision to sit down and do that was, it's bigger than me. It's about making that whole program, the recording and the just all of the above. It's bigger than me. It's the sport, and we need, that's the kind of coverage we need, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one that would sit down. I mean, I can think of a few that wouldn't, but I'm not the only one that would do that.
Well, in that situation, on the last station, talking to one of the guys in the, like, that could win this and sit down, I was, you know, if you would have lost, it would have been my fault. So I'm glad you won.
Nah, I don't think so.
You know, so, all right, so another question about the Super Squad. We'll move on after this, but I want to talk about this. If you are good enough to be on the Super Squad, and the only way that you can claim the national championship is to shoot with the Super Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Should you be able to not shoot with the Super Squad and still win the national championship?
Man, that's a hard one. Do I think you should? Yes, I do. I mean, I you just think as you a competitor, if you're them. if you hold yourself to the same level that the top shooters are at, and you think you're one of them, then why you would not shoot that rotation is beyond me. That blows me away. We all want to grow the sport. We want our championships to be fair. We want our championships
legitimized.
To be legitimate, and to not shoot on that rotation, just it blows me away that someone wouldn't.
I don't understand why you wouldn't. Like, if you're good enough to win a national championship,
mm-hmm.
you know all the people that are also good enough to win the national championship.
Right.
You're not just stepping in there like first time. I don't know any of these people.
Right.
So what is it to shoot a rotation once a day for 4 days with some of the top shooters. Why is that a bad thing?
There's definitely more pressure to it. I don't know.
I think some people would be like, well, my schedule, or I can't do this, or, you know, I couldn't make it there for 4 days. And I hear you out, but I mean, that's life. There are lots of things in life that I have to make a decision on. I can't go somewhere because I have prior commitment.
Yeah. I've not gone to the national championship before.
Yeah.
Because of life.
So,
yeah.
So unfortunately it's a hard decision, but it's a decision that we all have to make at some point.
Yeah. And if you know, nationals is in October. Okay. You know that. And in the format this year was that the super squad determined the national champion.
Right.
So if you had enough All American points or were a past national or US Open champion, you are on the super squad. So if you wanted to win the nationals and you're capable, then you need to be on the super squad. If you can't, this is just my thoughts, don't shoot with the super squad and don't win. Since you want to have such a good time with all your buddies,
right?
Just go shoot for fun, right? That's my thoughts on it. You know, I don't know if y'all agree with that or not. It don't matter if you do. That's just my thoughts.
Yeah, it's kind of, you can't have a cake and eat it too type of thing. Yeah. If you're here to have a good time, then what does it matter if you're not doing it?
You know, the people that complain probably can't win it anyway. But I think we did it. I think it was great. I think it was great for the sport.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to continue doing it. And I actually, what do you think if we continue to do it with regionals in the U.S. Open, the same format, the same live coverage?
I think it'd be incredible. I've been talking about it all week.
Yeah. I mean, Zach said it before. It's bigger than us. It's bigger. It's the sport. And anytime you can kind of create this atmosphere for juniors and sub juniors and even just beginner shooters, novice shooters, to look towards that elite status or where they want to go, that higher echelon, it gives them something to look at. It gives them something to strive for and watch. And it's not just this intangible idea of, oh, I can be a professional shooter on, you know, at the nationals. No, they can actually see it with their eyes. They can actually be there and feel what it's like to do it. So it gives them something tangible to reach for. And it's exciting. I mean,
obviously, we all talk about the PSCA a lot because that was one of the last big, you know, professional shooting, high-level shooting things we had going on in the sport. But that was inventing something to go record, okay? The NSCA Championship Tour is the best tour of sporting clays in the world. We have, we shoot, I was saying it, I think, I mean, after shooting in Tennessee this year, just the places that we shot this year. We shot in the deserts of Arizona. We shot in the woods, I mean, the heavy, heavy woods of Tennessee. We shot in Maryland, which was varied terrain. I mean, shooting in the woods and then out in the open. And where else did we go this year? Chicago. I mean, Northbrook's out in the open. Iconic.
Yeah.
We shoot in just the incredible places. And the tour itself, you know, the championship tour, but also the Team USA race that goes along with it, that is sporting clays. That is real sporting clays. That's the sporting clays that anyone can come enter. Everybody from E-class to someone that thinks they can win. It is the coolest, most complete tour that our sport has. And I think we're crazy not to work within the parameters of that with the NSCA and try to film some of it and just grow the sport through an incredible thing that we already have in place.
Yep, I agree 100%. And I think that's the way it should be.
I agree.
I mean, they got live, what you call it on, what's that?
Cornhole.
I mean, yeah. I'm over making the motion.
Yeah, they do. They got that on ESPN. Hey,
Connor's pretty good at cornhole too.
You are?
Yeah, I'm all right.
I was riding by somewhere at Nationals and I saw Connor and Ryan Harper and I don't know who else it was. They were out there playing cornhole right there in the middle of, I thought, what is
that? Yeah, they had one on the front lawn there in front of the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Oh, at Forest City, when these kids were shooting their STP and high school stuff, they might be playing cornhole more than they're shooting. It is a very serious thing, the cornhole.
Oh, yeah.
Kids. Oh, so that's why it's live then on ESPN.
Yeah.
You want to make that tour?
I mean, I remember some days shooting, like when I used to shoot SETP and all these other shoots, every time we get done, every night, like after dinner, we'd sit there, play cornhole for hours. Just everybody, they come in, somebody get a team, like, we're next. And we'll hop in, we keep playing until you're out or it was ready, it was time to go.
I've never liked cornhole. Like, it makes me mad. You know, like, it, I just, I don't know why. I just want to throw it, like, overhanded.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You just want to chuck it.
Yeah. But that, you know, I mean, they got axe throwing on ESPN. Mm-hmm. So why not at least put Sporting Clays on YouTube?
Yeah, you know? And the great thing about the Super Squads, too, is it doesn't negatively affect anything else. All of the recreational shooters can still go out and shoot. You can still shoot your monthly shoots. You can still shoot, you know, your they call them big blasts, but the bigger, more local tournaments, they're not the regional or the U.S. Open or the Nationals. It doesn't negatively affect any of those. So there's no negative to it. I mean, it can only be a positive.
You know, when they asked me to go over there and do that, I didn't even get to pick my schedule. They said, here's your rotation. This is who you're shooting with. And this is what you can shoot and what you can't shoot. Mm-hmm. All right. I didn't complain. I just did it because I wanted to do it for everybody. I mean, it's, you know, so going into the last day, okay, you were leading the whole time.
Right? Yeah, I had a two-bird lead going into Sunday.
So starting on station one on the B squad, mm-hmm. and you finished on station 10. The whole time around, because you dropped a couple. I mean, you probably.
I only dropped one in the first half. I was shooting good.
So 6 through 10.
And then I dropped 2 on 6. I dropped 1 on 7, and I dropped 3 on station 8.
You dropped one of. Did you drop the crossers off the tower? One of those. And then the midi Shondell.
The midi Shondell, I dropped 3 times. I hit it the second pair and missed it first and third and fourth pairs. It's a hard bird. I mean, the lighting, in my opinion, wasn't great, and I just couldn't see it the way I wanted to see it, and I missed. It was weird. Coming down that, I promise you, I know how nervous I am by how, when I'm loading my gun, if I'm shaking at all. And I was shaking, like, second, third, fourth stand. The craziest thing happened to me coming down the stretch is, like, just a calmness. Even though I was missing, I knew I had a little bit cushion to work with. I knew, I mean, they're hard targets. Everyone was missing. I knew Brandon had got, first of all, that format is made for Brandon Powell. I mean, he feeds off the crowd. He feeds off the pressure. He's going to do well in that format. I know he's coming. But I mean, I like my chances against anyone on 4 courses, 300 targets, you know?
Yeah.
But I know guys like him and Anthony are going to be coming hard. It's all going to shake out the way it needs to. But it was exciting. It was exciting, but the weird thing was I was not nervous at all. My hands were rock steady putting those shells in, just a calmness. It's weird. Hard to describe.
Yeah.
But those last 2 stands, I hit them pretty good. I don't know. It's like it's supposed to happen.
You know, station 10 right there, there was a lot of people missing that left or right Shondell.
A rabbit. That was a rabbit.
A rabbit, whatever it was. It was a rabbit.
Shondell rabbit. Yeah.
Okay. And that was kind of hard to
break. I saw that. Trust me. When I saw that pair, I was kind of licking my chops because I'm probably not going to miss those. So finishing on some birds I felt comfortable with. If we were out shooting that big midi Shondell or, you know, just some big crossers in the field, that would have been different. But it was a great course. And I know Derek Mine, Mike Wilgus, Kevin DeMichael have all said to me how exciting that format is and how much everyone enjoyed it, whether they shot well or not. I mean, an hour after winning, I mean, I'm looking back on it, talking to people, how excited I was, not because I won, but I was excited for the sport. I was excited for all of us.
Yeah. It's nothing like, I mean, I hadn't been doing this an awful long time, but I've been doing it a while, and I've never seen it like that, like, right, just that many people.
Yeah, and for him especially, this shoot, obviously the Hall of Fame was a big mile marker, and his stepmom Martha and her husband Carlos were able to come to this one, and they got to see him shoot in that kind of an atmosphere. And Martha has been to the Nationals before, but it's probably been,
she came in 2011 where I got second.
Yeah,
so she needs to just come more often.
I told her that.
But she hadn't, I mean, she'd came in the 90s for, you know, probably 8 years in a row in the 1990s. So she's been there plenty, but she had not seen the whole, just the area around the club, how it's grown, and the club itself, how it's grown. She was amazed. She loved it.
Yeah. Oh, I talked to her right after you won, mm-hmm. and she says, I think I'm just going to come back every year. I said, okay, well,
there and you Zach go. Has always been the favorite of the family, so now he's the extra, extra favorite.
Oh, really?
Whatever.
How did you become the favorite?
Come on.
Well, I think we need to continue it, man. I mean, like I said earlier, it's the whole format is cool.
It was incredible. I can't wait to get the edited stuff out. Chris edited the videos, and we need to get those posted. And
yep.
I think everyone will be real happy with how it came out.
For the ladies listening, I've seen the ladies' video, and I'm going to venture to say that it may be a little better than the men's video, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, no, it wasn't live, but I think that it was just as good, if not better, than the men's.
Yeah, I mean, you sent it to me. I did watch it, and it was very good.
Yeah.
It was very good, just the visual on it. And, again, it's just exciting. And props to Halen. Shout out to Halen Hanks for winning her national championship, because she went into the same scenario as Zach did on the last stand. And I was shooting right behind her, and we were tied. So we came up to that midi chandelle, and she went, obviously shot in front of me. And she ran that station. She ran that midi chandelle and that incomer. And I missed two there. So that put us at a tie, or that put me up one, her up one. And then we came to the next stand, and she got a little tight on the trap bird, and she missed one of those, but she held it together, and she ran that last station in the center of those targets. So even though it wasn't live, it felt that way to her. It felt that way to me. It felt that way to everybody watching. I know she was ecstatic about it, and I'm glad that the moment was captured for that, because it was worthy of it for sure.
Well, you said that Halen's great under pressure.
Yeah, and that's the other Zach had mentioned earlier. The great thing about the super squads is it adds that competitive pressure. It adds it. You can't ignore the scores while you're shooting, because the person is shooting right in front of you. You can't ignore, if they're hitting them or missing them, or how hard they're hitting them or not. You have to watch it. You have to see the whole thing. So you definitely have to be a little bit more mentally prepared, a little more mentally calm. That's easier said than done. But she did fantastic in that setup. And I think it will only help some of the other lady shooters through those experiences. It's an experience just like everything else, and you learn to deal with it. But it went
well.
All
these people, ladies, men, we're all just going to get more battle hardened. I promise you, when the PSCA was going on, the level of shooting in America grew, because we were all used to those high pressure situations, good targets, and competing head to head. And the shooting formats like this is only going to push that the same way.
My name is Chase Wiggins. I'm from Bullock County, which is in Statesboro. I go to Bullock Academy. I'm a sophomore student. I'm very thankful for Miss Cindy and Mr. Marty for what they do, for how they support our youth shooting, from the Double D Foundation and promoting the Second Amendment, and I'm very thankful for them. You know, we see and we reap the benefits on our shooting teams that I'm on, which is a GISA or GISA team and a youth travel shotgun team.
The Double D Foundation, a nonprofit organization, is supported by corporate or individual sponsors, donations, and events. Every penny raised supports shooting sports initiatives through grants, events, and donations. For more information or to donate, visit thedoubledfoundation.org. All right, listen, I want to talk about Connor for a minute. Connor is 15 years old from Savannah. He has won an unbelievable amount of big tournaments, world tournaments, and you came up pretty fast, right? Like I said, 3 years of shooting.
Right.
How have you progressed as fast as you have?
The biggest part of it was probably shooting with Zach, shooting tournaments, coaching. Like when I first started shooting, like we said, shot a ton every week, just that amount, and shooting every tournament with him, that was the biggest way to progress my shooting.
Yeah. I noticed that when I shot with y'all not that long ago, that it was almost, you could just think something and he would do it. Like you could tell him, hey, you know, shoot here or whatever you were telling him. And it was like, you know, instantly he knew exactly what you were talking about.
That it's not, I can honestly say there, and this is a credit to Connor. He's never fought me on anything. When I try to show him something new or teach him something, he's just always willing to take it all in and try it and take direction. There's a few times I can think of shooting a Gator Cup or something this year. There was a Rabu out under our feet and he missed it. And I'm like, all I said was faster. Just he looks at me like, really? Because I am not a fast shooter for the most part. I can shoot fast. I can, but
you never do.
Not very often. So it's not very often that I tell him to take a bird quicker. And I remember him coming out of the case. He's like, he was like mad. He's like, you're always right. Like he, but he's never fought me on anything. He's trusted me. And I think that's key. No matter who your coach is, you got to buy in. You've got to really, just go through the motions and learn it. And he's always been a sponge.
When did you, Connor, decide that this is something you wanted to do? What made you want to shoot sporting clothes?
Well, 2020, I was still playing soccer and basketball. I was decent at it, but when COVID hit, that was when everything got shut down, school, sports, everything. Dad took me out to the range. I think one of the local SETP teams offered me to shoot for him because I was planning on shooting for the school shooting team later that year just to prepare and go out there, shoot, have a good time. From then on, I just shot next 6 months. Coach called, his name is Harry Woolley. He was probably one of the people that helped me get up into it, and I started shooting with Zach. From then, started shooting tournaments. I think the 2021 Western Regional was my first big shoot I won. I think then was when I realized I wanted to stick with this and do it for a while.
So if it wasn't for COVID, you probably wouldn't be shooting.
Most likely not.
That's crazy.
That's when I met him, was at the that COVID Georgia State shoot at the Meadows, which was a huge, huge event.
Yeah.
Partly because I think everyone wanted to get out of the house. But that's where I met him. So that was June of 2020. And I think we probably started lessons like the next week.
Yeah. I remember the Gator Cup. When was that? In 2020 or 21?
When he won
the gun.
Yeah, that was 21.
Yeah, he's. Mm-hmm. What were you shooting before that, Connor?
Cesar Guarini Summit.
All right, he had a Cesar Guarini Summit. I remember
little 30-inch little. Yeah. That was actually a good little over and under for him. I remember picking it up like, you know what, that thing's balanced. It fits him good. It was for a little guy shooting an over and under, which I don't normally recommend. I didn't recommend that gun, but once he started with me, I'm like, yeah, this is not a bad little setup for you.
Yeah, because he was a little guy when he started. I mean, very he's tall
little,
now.
Very little.
It happened very fast, but he was a little guy then.
So you wanted to upgrade to a D. This is a pretty neat story. You wanted to upgrade to a DT.
Yeah, definitely. I was trying to save up some of my shooting earnings and all my like Christmas money to save up by a DT11. And then can't remember what day it was, but we were at the Gator Cup, and they did this raffle where – like every main event shooter would have a chance of winning a DT11 gold that was given by Cole's Gunsmithing. We were just all sitting there. I think it was after dinner, and they pulled my name out of the bucket. And me and Zach were both like totally shocked, like thrown back in our seat. But that was probably.
That's neat.
He did. He literally was like shocked. He almost fainted, I think. Honestly. I think there's video of him. He like,
yes. Oh,
yeah.
His arms go back. He's laying back on the one of those.
No, he was sitting on the bench and he just wouldn't get up.
Yeah.
And we're like, Connor, you gotta get up. You gotta go up there. And he just kept sitting there with his mouth open.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I got it.
It was totally in awe.
So you got to keep your money then.
Oh yeah.
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 You still got it?
Mm-hmm. Saving up for something else. I don't know what yet, but we'll see.
Yeah. That's neat. That's a neat story.
The timing could not have been more perfect on that. It was.
Yeah, I'm sure people thought it was rigged, but it was not.
Why would they think it was rigged?
I don't know.
I was talking to Rich.
He was already. I mean, that was the gun he wanted. I mean, he was going to get it. Yeah. He was probably going to get a DT11 within months. I'm telling you, it was close.
Yeah,
yeah. I was talking to Rich that night, and he was telling me how usually like this older person would win those guns like that, and he was really hoping that a kid would win it, and he was talking to me and my mom about that, and out of luck, a couple hours later, I pulled my name out of the bucket. And I was,
did you shoot it on the main?
No, I did. I shot at the, I started shooting it the next week because I wanted to finish out the main with my gun.
Yeah,
but
and yeah, I had a TSK stock on it, right?
Yeah,
right.
All right, how did you talk about that? How did that work for you? Do you think that helped you?
I think, yeah, I
figure
was
some stuff
pretty
out?
Good improvement to my other gun. I mean, I immediately set it up, fit me, and it felt pretty good.
Yeah.
Right now, I got a pattern stock.
That's a pattern?
Pattern stock, yes, sir.
Hang, it looks
that's
good.
A real stock.
It's a good
stock. Him and Rich will call it a pattern just because it's not super fancy. That's a stock. That's custom.
No,
stock.
I saw it today. It looked good.
Yeah, it looks good.
It's a good piece of wood.
It is
a pattern stock, definitely.
Yes, it is a good piece of wood.
Yeah, that TSK worked good for him because he was growing so fast. I mean, his arms were getting longer literally by the week.
Yeah, I think that he could sit in that seat right there and reach over and slap Zach right across the face and not move like an inch.
Like so again, it was everything kind of lined out perfect. It just worked for him really well, and Zach was it. They were able to get it all tuned up. I think he literally shot it the Monday after that Gator Cup. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was at the range. I gotta go shoot. I gotta go shoot.
Yeah,
Zach's like, can we just take?
I'm
a day
pretty
off?
Sure if his parents were in here, they would tell us he slept with that gun for a couple of weeks.
Did you?
No, I maybe. But I think I shot that pretty much every day for the next 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe not every day, but I wanted to every day. It was like after school, Mom, you take me to go shoot. I want to go shoot my new gun. Just
I remember Cindy telling me a story, and I don't remember if it was before or after the DT11, but Connor fell asleep one night on the couch, and he doesn't ever usually fall asleep on the couch. He always goes to bed, and he fell asleep on the couch one night, and she was sitting in the kitchen or something, and all of a sudden he got up off the couch, and he was walking towards the hallway like to go to his bedroom to go upstairs or something, and he stopped at the bottom of the stairs, and he's just standing at the bottom of the stairs, and Cindy's looking at him, and she's talking, hey, Connor, what are you doing? And he was sleepwalking, and in his sleepwalking, he was standing at the bottom of the stairs looking down the hallway, and he would go, pull, bang, bang. And he was literally saying that in his sleepwalking. So we knew he liked shooting because he was literally doing it while he was sleeping, standing up.
Cindy sent me a picture of Connor before watching a movie in his Pila glasses. I mean, like, really? He loves it. You got to love it. So you and Zach having the communication that you've got while you're shooting, has that made it a whole lot easier for you in this game?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, when we're out there shooting, and I say mess up. I remember a couple times today where I wasn't shooting great, and I was miss a target, and Zach would just like, "Hey, you're in front of it, or you gotta look at your barrel, or slow down."
Yeah.
Start on the back bottom side of the bird. I remember that one bird today, but
what bird was that?
It was a Rabu from the right, little trap shot.
I
missed it a couple times.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I figured you'd tell him to shoot faster.
No,
I remember that.
Am I on the wrong target?
We were down there.
Maybe
in that.
No, I don't think you're in the wrong target. But I do.
It was
70 or a. Giving away too much information here, but a 70 or a Rabu are different weight target than a standard or even a MIDI. And so their characteristics are to slow down faster. So in my opinion, I'm actually taking more time, more often than not, on a 70 or a Rabu. Not a long time. I'm not riding for a long time, but definitely not shooting it fast. I want to get the gun and the target moving the same speed as the bird, and that takes a little bit extra time most of the time.
Yeah. That's you gave away something there?
Yeah.
Do we need to get donations?
No, it's okay.
All right, so you're in school, right?
Right.
You shoot a lot. Mm-hmm. How are you as successful as you are going to school, going to shoot, going to tournaments, going all the way out west, going to the nationals, still worrying about school? How are you juggling both of those?
Well, obviously, I miss a lot of school. I think last year I missed about 40 days.
So, but you catch up with work, right? How does that work?
I try to, but usually the school doesn't affect my shooting that much, but usually I get back, got 3 or 4 tests to make up, ton of makeup work.
You're still doing good. I mean, you gotta. You're doing good in shooting. You're trying to juggle too. That's what I said. Right. It's just hard to do both.
I'm very fortunate. My school works with me a lot because my school does have a shooting team. They understand the amount of traveling you have to do, and amount of days you miss. So, my school permits me to miss as many days as I need to, as long as I get my work made up.
Are you still shooting for the school?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We got state in a couple weeks, so that'll be the end of the season.
Yeah, I was about to say, that should be about over with, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They shoot, our area, Georgia in general. They'll shoot SCTP from like January to July, and then high school starts August through December.
Mm. So Connor's obviously doing a great job with this, but I got to give a shout out to Cindy Daniel, because that woman can schedule. I mean, at the beginning of the year, we sit down with Zach and Connor, myself and Marty, and we look at the whole shooting schedule, the whole year, as much as we can possibly put on the calendar. We need to pull this shoot out because we don't have time for it. We definitely want to make this shoot, so we got to make sure that we get our schoolwork done and we plan for that one. And she makes you do your homework. She gets on you about that.
No, I've heard her.
But a lot of it is the way to juggle it is just scheduling. And Zach has done a great job with Connor on that. And looking throughout the whole year, and obviously having those goals, but setting them up. And you do a great job with that, Connor, whether it's the high school team or the SCTP or NSCA, you really decide what your goal is. And then you pick the shoots that you need to go to in order to get there and what will help. And if you can fit them in, great. And if you can't, you make a decision.
Mm-hmm. What would you tell somebody that's your age or younger that wants to be like, at the position you're in shooting, what would you say to them?
Experience is a big part of it. Shooting as many tournaments, practice good bit. I mean, I think the biggest part is shooting. I'm not saying go shoot with Zach in particular, but find somebody that's an experienced shooter and either take lessons with them or squad with them in a tournament and just see how they do it.
I think you have to have somebody that knows what's going on to be able to set everything up for you. The gun, right? Tell you what you're doing wrong.
Right.
I've always said that you, and some people may disagree with it, but I think that you have to be a champion to train a champion. That's my opinion.
I think so.
I mean, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean,
it definitely helps.
Yeah. I don't want somebody that, I don't need to know gun safety at this point. I want to know how to win.
Right.
You know? Mate, can I come see you sometime?
Anytime.
Okay.
Well, and you've both done a really good job of that. Obviously, Zach, keeping it consistent with the same person. It's practicing, learning a system, learning fundamentals so you build on each other. I'm not saying don't go to different coaches, but there's a time for that in shooting. It's not at the beginning. You don't want to get a lot of conflicting information. You need to start with the system and set it up. But both of them do a really good job of not forcing the issue right then. They allow it to kind of work itself out naturally through experience. Experience requires one major thing, time. You cannot speed that process up. There's no shortcut to it. So even though he hasn't been shooting that long, he's been doing it every day. So he's just kind of in theory shortened up that time, but neither of you have forced the issue. As he got his TSK, and then we got the pattern stock, and it's always kind of evolving and moving, and with the schedule and shooting more of this or less of that. And you both have done a very, very good job. That's just from the outside looking in.
Wow. Compliments over here.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, what do you enjoy shooting the most, school, SCTP, or running around with Zach?
Definitely NSCA, but I mean, there's ups and downs to both things. I mean, shooting SCTP in school, I get to see all my friends a lot, and I think it's very enjoyable at some points, but I honestly enjoy going to shoot NSCA tournaments, trying my best to win.
This year was your first year going overseas.
Oh yeah.
And we went to Italy. And now that you've made both teams, you'll go next year. What do you think about that? How's Italy?
Going to Italy last year was a great experience to see how it all goes out. I think making the team this year, especially not being on the team, but making an alternate, good opportunity to see, like, get a good feel of what it is to be on the team and to shoot, like, representing pretty much.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I've never been overseas, but I think I'm going to go just because Connor made the team.
You should.
You know, I think I want to go to EJ. I am not. I don't know if I want to go to Hungary.
A World English Sporting at EJ Churchill is
awesome,
incredible.
Yeah,
we've had some incredible, fantastic shoots there. It's their best grounds for a bigger style shoot. They've really kind of Americanized. They really have. They've kind of Americanized that event. We shoot in America all the side events, you know, the prelims, the five stand, the V-Test event. And they've kind of done that for that week over there. That's not real common on their grounds. They're not as big, the grounds they have. And
yeah,
Churchill has the size and the manpower to pull it off, and they do an incredible job.
What do you do in the off season, Connor?
I don't really have an off season. I mean, I've been shooting. It's after nationals. I'm still shooting, but I'm sure there'll be a certain point where I'll put down the gun for a little bit. I think after I shoot my school state this coming weekend, I think I'll probably take a break. Maybe only shoot once a week, but that'll be a good time to pretty much focus on school. I mean, that's the most important thing that I need to do.
He's very blessed. He has some of the best support behind him that any kid could possibly have. But he has to hold up his end of the bargain as well.
You like to fish, Connor?
I used to a little bit. I don't fish too much at all, but I like to freshwater fish and bass fish and all the neighborhood ponds. But we live on the Ogeechee River now, which is kind of brackish water, but there's pretty good fishing. I just don't do it enough.
Yeah. You like flounder gigging?
Oh, yeah. We've gone flounder gigging a couple times. Got some interesting stories there.
Yeah. Well, we can't talk about those. Connor, 23. What's your goals for 23? Don't say you win everything. I mean, that's probably what he's going to say.
He's a sub-junior again. He's got one more full season on the tour, NSCA tour, as a sub-junior. He's already won the U.S. Open, the Nationals, the World English, and I don't know how many regionals.
Enough.
I mean, goal is definitely to win, but, I mean, there's some other stuff. Like, I'm going to start getting a little closer to the top shooters like Zach, just start getting top 20, top 15.
He did that several regionals this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw it.
Start getting more consistent, especially in other events, instead of just the main event, V-Task, start.
Get up there with Joe and Todd. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You don't shoot any sub-gauge, do you?
No, sir.
Yeah. I think that's good. You got to – I would just assume.
There's a certain limit where you don't want to shoot too much in a week because you're going to get worn out. And then by the end of the week, you're going to be shooting the main event. You're going to be pretty much tired of shooting.
Speaking of this kid winning, he just HOA'd the V-Task shoot up here at Cherokee Rose. I mean, really?
In epic fashion, in shoot-off style.
Yeah, in a shoot-off with some good shooters. I mean, that was I'm pretty impressed with that. What about your goals for 23, Desi?
Do better.
Better?
I mean, I ended the season well this year.
Yeah. But
the beginning of the year was not on par for what I would like it to be.
It's like you turned it on, for sure, towards the end of the year.
Yeah, it's a natural evolution. Things in my shooting, I started pinpointing faster and correcting faster, things I needed to focus a little bit more on. And then I was about one full year with the auto again. I've been in the auto about one full year, and my body has just now gotten comfortable with that gun again. I've shot one before, and I know how it works, but it's just kind of a subconscious thing. You've got to kind of reteach your hands what they need to do and in order to relax, and I'm wasn't getting as much recoil as I used to, which is a great thing. So the flinches went away. So it just kind of all worked out towards the end of the year, but definitely do better. I made one of the teams this year, but I want to get back on both teams again next
year.
Which
one did you make?
I believe I made the V-Task this year. Yeah.
What about you? What's your goals for 23? I mean, you got in the Hall of Fame. You've won the
Hall of Fame.
In 5 years, you've won 3 national championships.
And 2 silvers
in 5 years.
Yeah,
that's right.
Wild.
So what is your goals for 23? Have you ever won a U.S. Open?
I have not. I've been runner-up twice.
That's probably it then.
I'd like to win a U.S. Open. I'd like to do better at the World English. I've made several super finals at the World English, but we always get terrible luck with the lighting. And we've talked about this, I think, on the podcast.
Yeah.
Some different glasses have helped. My goal is to have a better showings at the World English for sure.
What about FeeTask? I know
that's coming. I'm a better FeeTask shooter than anything. So I just keep swinging, keep entering that championship. It's got to.
So the U.S.
I've done very well several times at the World FeeTask, overseas and here in the U.S. But just continue to get better. That's the key. That's why I've done so well. That's why everything's come. I'm always striving to get better. I don't think I know everything.
I want to touch on one more thing before we go. Joe Finizi in the Top Gun shoot off.
Incredible. I've been telling him, I text him every other day and tell him how incredible he is. He
straighted it.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
I wasn't
just
there.
A little straight, like in the middle of some hard targets. It's hard to shoot at night, just period. And those targets were no joke. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Joe has had an incredible year. He's had an incredible few years.
Yeah.
I know you look at some of the Team USA or even All-American lists, and yeah, me and Anthony and Gavin and Brandon, or you'd think we had the best year. I would argue Joe had as good of a year as anybody.
Started off with
winning Jack Links. Yep. I mean, he's incredible. Now, could I shoot like that? No, I'm not sure you could teach someone to shoot like that. But he's got it. It works for him, and he's outstanding.
Yeah, those young kids, man, like Joe, Connor, Todd.
Connor, other than the chicken wing, is very traditional. Connor mounts the gun.
I'm sorry.
When people see Connor, they're like, wow, I've said it before. He passes the eye test. He looks like a professional shooter, the way he moves the gun, the way he mounts the gun.
But if a gust of wind comes, it's going to blow him over.
It's going to blow him over for sure.
Chicken wing sticking straight up.
No, Connor's more of a traditional shooter for sure. Very, very different than Joe.
So explain to me the difference in the two.
I mean,
you said traditional versus Joe.
One, Joe doesn't put his head on the gun.
Right.
That's big, very big difference.
Gotcha. Okay. I got you.
So his visual perception of the game is very different. And the way he approaches his targets are different because of that. So when we talk about techniques and methods, those are only as good as your perception of them. And the way Joe sees it and the way a more traditional shooter who is using some of those techniques sees it is very, very different. So Joe's shooting style is a perfect fit for him, but it's because that's the way he sees the game. If someone like Zach or Connor or myself tried to shoot the way Joe shoots, in terms of the technique, it's a square and a circle. They don't match.
They don't mix.
Yeah. But yeah. It's very cool for me to see too. You've got someone like Connor at 16, and then you've got
15.
Sorry, 15. I know you're man. And then someone like Joe, and some, you know, and Todd, this college age, and then you've got, you know, Zach and Anthony. So we're starting to see multiple levels of success and, you know, elite, depending on where they're at in their age in the sport. And I think it's just a testament to how it's growing, the information that's being put out, the instruction, the excitement. Obviously, it's a numbers game at some point. The more people they get into it, the better for everybody.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see.
Who are some of your competitors? I know there's been a lot of kids up there running with you, shoot after shoot. Who are some of those people?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's me, Griffin Howe, and Lane Piccolo are the three big ones. I'm pretty sure us three won every regional and shoot except for one this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that you look down there, Griffin Howe's a great shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Lane's a good shooter. And you.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you watch a sub-junior category, they're always.
Yeah, that was the top three at nationals. My comment on someone's Facebook photo was, it looks like a future junior Team USA to me.
Yeah.
Those kids will be shooting together for a long time.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, we good?
Mm-hmm.
You happy?
Mm-hmm.
You happy?
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, we've been together all day, day and a half. We watched the Georgia-Tennessee game last night.
We did.
And Zach's mad that Georgia won. but
he's not mad.
Yeah, you're kind of upset.
You're upset Georgia won.
I'm not mad. I don't really care that much.
He just doesn't want to listen to all the Georgia fans.
So were you pulling for Tennessee? Maybe. Just because of the fans?
Yeah, and Beretta's factory is in Tennessee, so we got to pull for Tennessee.
Right.
Yeah, well, they were at my house, and Georgia won. So I know Connor's happy they won.
Yeah.
And
Zach lives in Georgia, so he's going to have to deal with it a little bit.
It's okay that you don't pull for the Falcons. Oh, nobody wants to pull for the Falcons.
Right. But Connor does. Now.
You?
I do, yeah.
You need to pull a little harder.
They had a close game today. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, they did.
But
we got to shoot a little bit. You shot good today, Justin.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah.
Man, he finally shot good.
And it was fun. It was a good round.
He did. Halfway through, he looks at the group, and he's like, I'm having fun.
I was.
Yeah.
Like, we had a pretty good time. Mm-hmm. I wasn't too serious. And
I got to shoot with the mini Justin, little Bryce. He did awesome. I shot with all the boys today. They had a good time. Snack table was the highlight of the day.
And the cool. And
yep.
We shot a station that was down in the, I don't know what they call it, at Cherokee Rose, but you're shooting under your feet. I had a 70 that was flying out. And I got a picture of the kid standing on a cooler?
Yeah, we had to get something for him to stand on because you got to shoot down pretty far. I mean, and I don't know how tall Bryce is, but he's not tall enough to shoot over the railing that low. So we had to get a cooler for two or three of them. And they actually did great. They hit two or three birds on that. It was a hard stand.
Yeah, that was definitely the hardest stand. I had a good time. So my point in all this was we've been together for a day and a half now. And, you know, I appreciate you spending some time with me and shooting. And Connor, good job on the HOA for fee task.
Thank you.
And Desi, thanks for keeping up with the kids while we shot.
Yeah.
Like a babysitter.
Nah, that was fun.
I'll pay your main event entry anytime if you'll babysit.
Well, I shot pretty good with them today, so I might need to do that more often.
Did you see what she shot?
She shot 97.
Yeah. With four kids. How many kids? Three or four? Three. Yeah. Three kids.
That's and crazy. A puppy.
And a puppy. And a puppy. And parents.
Everybody did great, but thank you, Justin. Yeah. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right.